This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome along to the Racing Pod. I'm not John Duggan, so I actually don't know what number it is, but safe to say we've had quite a few, and I was just talking to our producer Ben there about our Galway experience, which I'll talk to Tom Malone about shortly, because it was Galway last week, and later on we'll have our Hills representative on the show as well, ahead of the Shergar Cup, and what is, to be fair, a relatively quiet weekend in terms of quality of racing, although, it being Ireland, there are two sort of run-of-the-mill jumps meetings tomorrow, which I'm not sure what to make of that, but I will be at one of them. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, good. And we have a Group 1 at the Curragh on Sunday. So
good racing on Sunday.
Yeah, but it is very much an island in a sort of sea of mediocrity elsewhere, though, isn't it? You know, even just... Look, and you need a week on the back of Galway, and you need 2 weeks, and then we're into York the week after next. So, you know, it's not all forlorn. But, I've enjoyed the summer so far. And like I said, Galway's just been one of those... Even it kind of helped. It helped ease the sort of, oh, we lost the sunshine, but it's okay, Galway's here. And then it just felt, well, it's raining in Galway, which it always rains in Galway. That's fine. Normal service has resumed.
Yeah, well, I was actually at the race last night, and Lauren and Fowler brought up climate change unannounced in an interview after, because she had a horse run in the bumper, which on pedigree was very interesting, and it should have won actually at a big price, but she brought up climate change, and that was a factor in Galway, but they did get a bit of rain, and you live in Meath, I mean, it is desperately badly needed. Like the racing yards, Sonny Carey was saying this to me, you know, and we've seen a gallop close at Newmarket. Like, they haven't been able to school horses at, I think, the Curragh because it's just the ground is too hard.
Yeah, and, you know, and you're not really in a position... Like, so obviously race courses... The Curragh is blessed because obviously it's a race course, so it has its own reservoir. But if, say, you're, you know, a private gallop or whatever and you might not have a private... You know, you might not have your own reservoir, which, again, was one of the issues with Thurles as well. We spoke about this, a year or so ago as well, that issue of watering and maintaining your own water supply. Like, it is huge and it's an enormous expense. And like I said, the Curragh are blessed because they have their own water supply, just like all major race courses do. So they can continue to water aspects of the training grounds, but not all of it. You know what I mean? And like some of the sand and the we gone very, very, very dry. And even just the way the soil has gone in some of the fields, like around us where maybe would have gotten poached during the year. And I should be tending it a little bit better, Johnny. But say what would have been mud before is now dust. I've never seen it. So normally in summer it would just cake go hard, but it's just dust now, like you'd see in Spain or something, you know, it's insane.
Galway, we had our podcast on the Tuesday, our kind of roadshow podcast with Barry Geraghty. It was myself and JD, Joe Canning and Conor O'Dwyer. And Galway being Galway, my sort of main fancy that day was San Air, which was 20-1 into 11-4. And it was touched off by Conor O'Dwyer's only runner on the day, Lady Arwen, who completely missed the break. And dishevelled the following morning, thanks for Brona for organising the hotel, but dishevelled coming out of the lift. And like, let's be honest, after a long day in Galway, you don't want to meet anyone in the lift. And I'm in the lift and I'm like, God, how on a scale of naught to really bad, how bad do I look here? But there are two people in the lift and I don't know, was it a man and his daughter or whatever. Anyway, I think they were related. But the man says to me, ah, Johnny Ward, we're the owners of Lady Arwen, Conor O'Dwyer's horse. And it was just like perfect Galway moment where this is the horse that's cost me like, and it was also just, they were delighted with life. And Conor O'Dwyer, who came on the show, probably the most likable man in racing, he has a winner at Galway, and you're like, you know, I'd take that anyway.
Yeah. There's a couple of things I absolutely love about the story. One, the ride. I mean, the ride from Billy Lee.
WJ Lee, leading rider of the week.
Like, to be left four or five lengths. And one of the TV analysts did mention it as well. Like, just that ability to not panic. They'll come back to you. Because, again, if he chased them early in the race, that was the race gone as well. So he kind of just gambled on them stopping at some stage and then him knowing that his horse enjoyed picking through a bit of traffic, and that was absolutely exceptional. Yeah, and then Conor O'Dwyer's yards coming into a bit of form. He's had a few winners. And I think my favourite Conor O'Dwyer stat is that he has four Cheltenham winners. and you think of all these riders have had all these winners. And like when I was a kid, he was one of the best. You know what I mean? Charlie Swan was the best. But, you know, if you were an owner and my dad had horses and stuff like that, he was the best kind of gettable jockey you could get. Mm. But yeah, four Cheltenham winners, two Gold Cups, two champion hurdles. I mean, that's a pretty mic drop record to have. Again, at a time when we weren't, you know, dominating Cheltenham like we did. But sort of an underappreciated element of it is he was just such a top rider.
What was your highlight of the week at Galway? Because obviously you had Daniel King and you had Billy Lee. And I met Tony Martin actually last night in Sligo. And I think Tony Martin for me, because like Daniel King... I think the trainer's still more important than the jockey.
Because
I put a pound a jar right in the Galway hurdle, but you're watching this race, the improvement of that horse from where he was at and everything, it was down to Daniel King, but Jesus, did his trainer get him right? And then to win with Arandi in the mile.
Yeah, look, the Arandi one was just excellent. Obviously, a very long executed plan. That horse won a Lincoln in the past. Tony admitted post-race as well that maybe when they went for that race the previous year, he'd probably just gotten things a little wrong, maybe just had him a little undercooked, learned the lessons and executed the plan properly this time around. And with the trainer v jockey thing as well, I mean, does it really matter that Daniel King rode put a pen in the jar? Like, it was very good ride, very good horse, but it's not really about him. No matter who... was booked to that and they'd carried out Tony's instructions, they would have won. So from that point of view...
I think that's taking it a bit too lightly because it is... The Galway Hurdle is a very difficult race to ride.
I know, it is. It is.
And he's high in confidence after winning the
place. He's very high in confidence. But I think, like, the trainer's role in all this is far more significant, particularly from where things are going. So everything in Daniel King's life is on an upward trajectory right now. Everything, you know, he is... No matter what, everything he's coming out smelling the roses. And that is brilliant. And he's very confident from that. And he's in a great spot. You could not say the same for Tony Martin. And he has had such a checkered career and does not have the horses he had in the past. And he's had controversy and otherwise. And to still just kind of keep going, keep plugging on, keep just finding those horses, you know, and I know the horses he has now are a lot better than the ones he would have had, say, 5 years ago. But even still, he was just delivering what even he knew in his heart of hearts were not what he had, say, at the time of the boom and stuff like that and those kind of numbers. And yeah, I would absolutely agree with you. What Tony Martin's had over the past week is an incredible performance of training and also just a bit of resilience from the man himself too.
The Galway experience, well, like, I'm from County Galway, Galway being the city, it is hard to compare to anything. Like, it was just the amount of people, old faces that I used to work with or used to bet with or used to bet against or used to drink with or used to party with, maybe trainers I've had rows with in the past, and all of these people were just there. And then the night out, you know, you're meeting, characters from the football family, so to speak. The next morning, I wake up, as I say, meet the Lady Arwen owners. I'm walking to the train and I get a shout. The train driver is a neighbour from home and he's driving my train. And I was just like, Galway is unique. It really is unique. And long may its unique nature last.
Yeah, I think it's absolute. It's magic. And any race meeting that is so closely connected to such an enormously vibrant town like Galway, you know, Galway's a party town no matter what. I remember, you know, there's a festival on every single week of the year. And to just have the racing take such a central position throughout the height of the summer, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And like you said, it's just that connectedness, that shortness, that time of the year. Everyone's in holiday mode. It's not, you know, trainers will still talk to you and be happy because it's not. You know, they're not Group 1 races. Mm. Yes, they're big races, but like Willie Mullins is not going to be walking around with a Seraph Huss in him if he gets beaten in the Galway Hurdle and the Galway Plate. Not saying he would be like that with Cheltenham, but you know what I mean? You're never getting that. So everyone's just that little bit more relaxed, and accepting it for what it is, I suppose.
Just briefly then, Goodwood, what were your highlights? Scandinavia proves himself to be the top dog in the staying division and Diamond Necklace is very good.
Boeco.
Boeco was the highlight, I guess.
Boeco was the highlight. Delighted for Billy Loughnan to sort of go and really follow up what happened at Ascot. I actually think Scandinavia was exceptional because, and again, it was that loose horse and just... really going to show how much he had left in the tank. Like, he is one of those horses for me that will always, you know, he'll beat a 45 horse ahead, he'll beat a 60 horse ahead, he'll beat a 120 horse ahead. But the fact of the matter is, he's something to chase. He just show how much he really had over Trawlerman. I just thought was a brilliant performance.
Other news this week, I don't know, was this David Jennings broke it on Wednesday, and on Wednesday week, yeah, he told the Bracing Post, yes, that's where we're aiming him at for his next race, and we're really looking forward to it. The Judmont International at York. Now, if you've not been to York, York City itself, York, I think, goes back to, I think York itself might be an old Roman,
isn't it?
Name.
Yeah, I think so.
York itself's Roman city. It goes back like a long, long time. I was at York for Frankel, but hadn't been there again until last year, and got a more of a feel for the city. At the racetrack on a Friday, it's a fairly ordinary card. I think there were 7,000 or 8,000 people there. It's a fantastic racecourse. Maybe I'm saying it to you, Bugsy Malone. Will we go to York on Wednesday week and let's make a date of the Judmont International? Constitution River against Ombudsman, it's on.
Yeah, it's cracking, and it's really what you want as well, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to this. You know, it is 10 days away, so you know, we'll see what happens since. You can see these cards cut up, but look, if, like, I suppose, you know, if the horse is fitting well and raring to go, like, just, you know, just put him down. Obviously, put him there in the race. Obviously, look, he was, you know, beaten last time out, but it's just, we're just going to go and see what happens. I just love the way Aiden just runs his horses. We have a big race. Don't worry. We'll find you something to make a headline. He's, like, for Frankel and See the Stars and all those horses, I mean, you can't underestimate Aiden's role in making those races competitive and bringing these horses to make sure they try and do something. And even you hear, like, Johnny Murta talking about it afterwards and how well they had the likes of X Celebration or Rip Van Winkle or whomever it was who was taking them on the day. And they were always just like, look, we knew we had this horse ready to go. We had a plan. And, you know, then See the Stars or Frankel comes and does, you know, do what they did. But, you know, it's intriguing to see what happens in this race.
You mentioned See the Stars and Frankel. So just briefly, we'll just recall the maiden that started Leopardstown last night and some of the great names of horses that are running in the Curra in the maiden. You'll probably be racing the Curra on Sunday.
Yeah, I will, yeah. So some of the, Shakespeare's an absolute certainty, by the way.
I love them. well, certainties and all of that. It's inside information essentially dictates markets, in my view. It's more that than form.
Particularly in maidens.
So you have the maiden for two-year-olds last night. I have a general rule, do not back Frankel horses at odds on. It's just a general rule of mine. Frankel on was sent off 8 to 15. Now, this is, like, really, really mad. Now, a market has to form into a 100% book. But when you're taking on two Aidan O'Brien horses that are obviously unknown, you know, newcomers, and one Jesus Green trained by Joseph O'Brien. But Drumbeast, who's by Wooden Bassett, is sent off 130. Wall Street, Friendless out to 7-1 by See the Stars, who you mentioned, slowly into strides. There was a little bit of quality about this performance.
Yeah, there was a lot to like about this. When I looked at that race in the morning, he was sort of 5-1. Then obviously, like I say, drifted to sevens. But like, Coolmore don't really have many See the Stars. I think this fella cost a million.
The Line in Winter.
The obvious one, yeah. Who was also bought at Goff's and then kind of sidestepped the Goff's
and
million
and
that
Alpha.
Year.
Yeah. Alpha will be the star of the future.
Yeah, but I suppose Alpha's kind of more...
they bought the Mare and Foal, didn't they?
Yeah, and that was part of that big Nearchus dispersal. But yeah, so it was fascinating for me that this is a sire they have not entertained over the last
literally
few years.
A handful.
I mean, you know, they have Knights of Thunder now. They have, I think, a couple of Maymas. You know, they send their mares around as well. I mean, mostly their mares go to Franklin Dubawi, but like, still to go and buy one for £1 million, and there was so much to like about it as well. And he was getting that typical Aidan introduction ride as well, where
Wayne was very happy with
him. Was very happy with him. You know, We'll give him we'll cover him up early, we'll get him in some horses, then we'll give him some light late on, and whatever he does, he does. And he goes and eats them, you know, and it's very, very likable. But intriguing, the pedigree and also the name, as we've mentioned before, and the name is always
And Isaac Newton then is another name, so he wins the Desmond Stakes. Now, I did tip Sparanu in this, and Jim Bulger, to be fair, he's nothing if not unconventional. He drops her back to the mile, and she's not long after running the Oaks, and she was unlucky. And it was a fascinating race to watch, because I think Declan McDonagh felt like early on in the Oaks she was hard to get going, but he sort of rushed her to be prominent last night, and it was actually it was a strong pace at Audience Set.
Yeah,
and I guess
as often happens when you have a UK runner.
Yeah,
you know, it was
a strong pace, and Isaac Newton then, who is again friendless in the market, so that you get these great, as Juki would say, a victory for the integrity of the game, and we'll get to Juki senior, but Ryan has this great sit, and ultimately, I suppose, reports of Aidan's stable form and all of that have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, yeah. The reports of his demise, not, yeah. This is another one. And, you know, Isaac Newton is one of those horses. Aidan always, you know, he'll always support these group twos and group threes around the place every single, you know, day of the week. And this is a very good horse. And he just kind of gets forgotten about because he's running in the Desmond Stakes and a Thursday night in Leopardstown. Yeah, nice horse. I'm trying to think of the... And there's another horse they had a few years ago as well, kind of similar to this. And he said, you know, a nice fun horse, I think, yeah, you know.
He's rated like 110.
I think Derek Smith gave him to his wife, and was like, a nice fun horse. So we might go to, you know, Bahrain or something with it. And you're just like...
I think when was it Power won the Guineas, and I was working at headquarters that day, and Aidan had trained the third... And I said, what did you make the run of whatever his name was? And he goes, God, was he third? I was like, you've just trained the third in a Guineas and you didn't even realise it. And that is like, and he wasn't being like an asshole.
No, he wasn't.
It was literally, he has so much like, and but in any event, Alex Dunn from William Hill is on the line. Alex, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. I wouldn't mind owning one of those fun horses. They sound nice, don't they?
Yeah, it's like, I do think if I befriend these trainers long enough, they'll get me to write their autobiography, or they'll just flog me a horse for nothing that's rated 110.
Yeah, or give you something, and you'll be like, oh, you can have this for the Troella show at the RDS there on Saturday.
Yeah, obviously the RDS. Have you ever been to this horse show on the RDS, Alex?
I have not, no.
It's very much worth going to.
Yeah, why is it worth going to?
It's just not dissimilar to Galway.
Another jolly.
There is obviously very high class action. So on Friday of the Aga Khan, on Saturday of the Puissance, and on Sunday you've got a million euro Grand Prix event.
Wow.
Or show jumping, obviously. But then as well as that, you've kind of the final of every sort of show over the whole year. So all the country shows that go on right throughout the summer, the winners of those top shows will go and qualify for Dublin. So everything, ponies, Connemaras, stallions, drafts,
cool.
Working hunters, they're all around the ring. So everybody you know in equine is there.
That's cool.
And you'll just be non-stop bumping into people. And
I might do it this year. Alex, have you been to the Shergar Cup though?
I haven't. You know, I've never been to Ascot. It's one of those tracks I've sort of got on my list, but would it be? I want to go see jumps racing there. I think more than the Royal Meeting, which might be an awful thing to say. But
no, it's a good jumps track. No,
yeah, it's one of those tracks. I think you get some really, really good races there. Proper old school matches and things like that. So yeah, I'd like to go one day. But no, never been to the Shergar Cup.
How is? I mean, it's early days, and like essentially we're talking about handicaps here. Six race card, 135. The Shergar Cup for the uninitiated or those who just simply don't care. Racing's always had this, or certainly British racing has had this kind of idea of, let's become a team, let's have a team event like a football team. And it's kind of never really worked, in my view. Now, I wouldn't knock triers at all, and God knows there are enough people in racing, a lot of them cynical hacks, journalists who are just like clocking in and clocking out like me, who just give out about everything. The Shergar Cup is actually not a bad concept, and you have all of these riders who have very different styles, and as the world gets pretty much everywhere becomes the same because we're all addicted to our phones, there is a different riding style in South Africa and Hong Kong, say, to Ireland. So I guess, Alex, you get that aspect to it, but in your homeland it's still not necessarily everyone's cup of proverbial tea.
No, I think from a personal point of view, as I've sort of grown up, to start with, it was just sort of a novelty that you think, okay, this is all right, I'll give this a watch. And then as you get older, you think, actually, there's betting opportunities to be found here because I know that ex-jockey rides Ascot particularly well. Mm. And that's not to say that some of the other jockeys that come over don't, but they certainly like the experience of riding at the track. It's not every year that you get someone of the calibre of Ryan Moore riding there. We'll touch on him in a moment. But he is... I'm surprised, actually. He's not favourite to win the Silver Saddle, but that's because Safi Osborne is, and she's obviously got a fantastic record there as well.
Give us the odds on that, so.
9-4 for Safi, Ryan Moore 5-2, 5-1 for Christophe Lemaire, and Dylan Brown at Monaghan, and 14-1 and bigger the rest. So certainly riding there is preferred, if you will.
So this is the thing, Tom, like this is a good interest bet. If you have a few quid on RL Moore, five rides tomorrow, Safi marginal favourite, and then you're bringing in the likes of DBM, who's been pretty amazing this season.
Yeah, I just backed Dylan Brown McMonagle for that, just for the sake of, because I genuinely think he's probably one of the most talented riders in the weigh room. And he can, you know, he showed when he went to Hong Kong as well. I think in his early days in Hong Kong, something like the average price of his rides was sort of 14-1 or something like that. And he still had three or four winners in the early days. So, I think it's interesting. And look, you can't, like, punters can go and sit back and turn their noses up at it. But trainers and owners shouldn't, because these are not the best races in the world. They're north of 95. So it's 85 grand up for grabs in all, but the last one, which is a 100 grand race. Like the Group 3 in Newmarket, this Sweet Solera Stakes, that's 75,000. So every race in Ascot, even though the handicaps are worth more than the Group 3 at Newmarket. So like it's worth getting involved in. Obviously, I'd say they, you know, we don't know what they do, but they clearly take care of the owners for the, you know, for the ability to not wear their own colours and all that stuff. And
I've just figured it out. We're going to be donated a horse by Aidan O'Brien to run in the Shergar Cup so we can be taken care of in Royal Ascot, and the three of us can go to Ascot and have a jolly.
That's it. That'd be perfect.
And we'll actually not realise that we've had a third in one of the races because it'll be such a good day. Alex, what race do you want to start with, actually?
We'll start with a 210, if that's all right. I thought that was intriguing, because currently the market leader is a reserve, Baylor Bay, for Ian Williams. So assuming that one doesn't get in, I've got a mover for you, and there's going to be a theme with a few of these movers, and that is that Ryan Moore is aboard Shrimp Shady for Andrew Balding. I just think what's not to like about this, from a personal point of view, I really think this horse has got a great chance tomorrow.
And the potential for a song as well, kind of.
Yes, quite possibly. Mm. I don't think Ryan will give you a blast.
Who knows? But. Who knows?
Listen, if it's Whirlpool, you might.
Sorry, Alex. Yeah.
No, it's all right. Horse in good form. Trainer does well at Ascot. Ryan Moore rides Ascot really well. What's not to like? Shrimp Shady is 11-4 now and has been backed in from bigger prices earlier on. Opened up 4-1. So already money coming for that one, and I can completely see why.
Yeah, I think Mountain Road is actually a Brian Kennedy song from the mid-90s. And Kilmeaden, obviously, is the fillet of cheddar.
Yeah, now, I actually heard a little squeak as well.
Yeah, just, very interesting. What do you make of it?
Yeah, because he's one of those horses I always thought was going to be better than he ended up kind of being. Still rated 91. I think there are more opportunities in the UK for a horse like him.
Has the distinction of being a hot favourite against Saratoga in a race in which I lumped on the latter at Nace.
Yeah.
Over hurdles.
Yeah.
That was do you remember that race?
He has a strange enough book of four, really, doesn't he? Yeah. But I always thought he was more than capable of sort of, I thought he's pattern class, so I think he's more than capable of, you know, maybe he won't win on Saturday. It could be a hot enough race, but off that market 91, they'll have a bit of fun with him.
Another ex-Irish horse, Alex, Genealogy in the 245, a reserve, because we obviously 10 runners for these races, and a large spread of riders here. Ryan is on Asgard's captain.
Yeah, and again, that's the one that has attracted early support. I guess, you know, you are going to see a lot of his rides going off, if you will, artificially short. Mm. But to be honest, I don't think that they probably are as short as they could be in certain races. We see him going off artificially short because he rides for Aidan O'Brien a lot of the time. So, yes, he's on a handicapper here in Asgard's captain, who might have to bounce back a little bit. But we're 17-2 earlier on. He's already into 11-2. Favour for that race, incidentally, is also trained by Ian Williams, who's got Baylor Bay, the reserve, in the 210. But Dylan Brown Monaghan aboard Night Breeze, and I know that you're mentioning Dylan there, but I just want to say the ride that he gave at Goodwood, the stayer.
Oh, yeah, that was mad. That was
honestly, I know people afterwards said, oh, that was a really good ride. I was like, I don't think you understand how good a ride that was. People were saying, oh, he's off the bridle with a mile to go. And he was just nudging and nerdling. Such a good ride. He won that race. And yeah, like you say, I think he is one of the most talented riders in the weighing room right now.
Do you know what I love about him as well? He can kind of do it every way.
Mm.
You know, like you look at the ride in the Oaks and people who've known him for ages will say, well, he was doing that in pony racing his whole life, as in just dropping horses out the back and then landing them, just zooming past in the closing stages. But yeah,
I was I was in Dingle during the week and I passed the racetrack, which is getting ready for the Dingle Derby next weekend. And I was thinking the first person that came to mind was Dylan Brown McMonagall, who might be the best thing ever to come out of Irish racing. Yes, what are you liking this race? You.
Me? Yeah, I thought Stairman a squeak here for Richard Hannon. Aussie jockey Jamie Mellum on board. Winner last time out. Light enough kind of mileage. Yeah, just thought had a bit of a squeak.
Jamie Mellum rides 3:20s the sprint. In this race, Dylan Brown rides John Quinn, Cape Ashizuri, and Havana Hurricanes top weight. Christophe Lemire, who we mentioned, is riding for John Gosden in this race. And yeah, it's very, very open, Alex. We've again, a reserve who if getting in would be very well fancied.
Yeah, would you believe we've got a favourite here and a well-backed favourite who's not ridden by Ryan Moore, so that's something. Thunder Call for William Haggis and Jerry Chow has been really, really popular. You do get some of these Haggis horses who just seem so far ahead of the handicapper and look really good at York back in June. Not quite as good at Newmarket last time in that the horse didn't win, but still ran perfectly well in defeat. So I expect Thunder Call to be on the premises. But again, you are taking a bit of a leap of faith from a jockey point of view. And that's not to say that this isn't a jockey who's ridden many, many winners, but just slightly different to the norm. But Thunder Call very, very strong at 7-4.
Tom?
Yeah, I couldn't really look past Thunder Call as well. Again, you're just sitting there wondering whether the jockey's okay, but the lads are going 7-4 in fairness, short or elsewhere, like, so, you know, fair play to William Hill there for taking the position.
And a typical Haggis improver then in the 3:55 in the shape of Hiziki. Now, Mrs. John Harrington runs Pierre Gross here, who has the cheek piece on, I think, a South African rider aboard. Actually a fascinating runner, Tom.
In the shape
this
of...
This is Pierre Gross.
Yeah. He's just touched off in his last two starts.
85 might be a bad mark.
No, and like, you know, ran and there in Oaks weekend, like he just ran into Tokyo Tower. I feel like Jessica Harrington's trained more second place horses at the Curragh this season than anyone else. I think she had about 5 or 6 on Derby weekend, and Pierre Gross is another, again, quite nicely backed, and beat Dunica's Numantia that day. Solness was only out for a canter, you know, and Tokyo Tower did him late, like, but I think this horse has scoped to progress.
The favourite Hiziki, 13-8 with Hills, Archer's Bay 11-4 under Moore, Alex. And I guess if Safi Osborne wins this is a typical Willie Haggis horse that will just be backed.
Yeah, it almost seems too obvious, doesn't it? Just finding these Haggis horses who can keep improving and I mean, the fact that he's getting them handicapped off the marks he is to start with is quite something. But then going on to win and win and win again, Hiziki's sure to be strong. 13-8 currently, the market leader. But again, the money horse, Archer's Bay, Ryan Moore aboard, 11-2 into 11-4 already. So taking no chances. That horse has had 3 runs this season, all of them at Newmarket. So I'll probably be wondering what on earth's going on at Ascot, but certainly got a chance, but Hiziki definitely the one to beat there.
Ozat was unlucky the last year at Goodwood, but at the same time he was 18-1, he finished 15th of 18, Bugsy, and now Ryan Moore rides, and it's probably, and I'm a bit of a sucker for this as well, you see horses unlucky in running and you're like, oh, I have to back him the next day, but God almighty, the market has 11-4 favourites.
Yeah, that's just huge support for that, but is this in the last race? Or
this is the last race, 4:30. Herculean Bay is top weight for Jamie Mellum, who we've mentioned, and Dylan Brown rides 2 Tribes actually, and 2 Tribes is only in action at Goodwood the other day. Well beaten favourite.
Yeah, second over at the trip as well back in July too. So you know, behind Amazing Journey that day. This is the race. This is the 100 grand race. So you know, I'm sure
this is the race we'll have a runner in next year.
Yeah, this is the race we're going to have a runner in next. Yeah,
the 100 races will get in. Alex, is this like just an anticipation of, oh, we're going to be ducking Ryan Moore here in the last 11-4?
this whole race is a strange one from a form point of view. Ozat doesn't have much of it to write home about recently, but obviously has come in for a bit of support again. You've got Richard Spencer horse, who has been ridden in the past to good effect by Safi Osborne, but now has Dylan Brown Monagall aboard, not Safi Osborne. And then you've got Cerulean Bay in there, who's been kept so busy. This will be Cerulean Bay's third run in a fortnight, and ran really well at Goodwood, having been beaten in a listed race at Pontefract, the William Hill Pomfret Stakes, back in on the 26th of July. So I thought this was a bit of a minefield, to be honest. No notable movers to speak of just yet, but the fact that Ozat is towards the head of affairs, I mean, sound like a broken record, but Ryan Moore, Ian Williams, once again, and seemingly well fancied at the head of affairs, but has certainly got to bounce back.
We're going to finish off then with two races at the Curra, and fair play to Hills for pricing up. It's only a 5-runner sprint, and people might bemoan that. It's hard to believe you have a sprint at the Curra for older horses or whatever, and there are only 5 runners in it. But to be fair, Tom, it's a good race. James Delight, who comes over to the Curra pretty regularly, takes on Big Mojo, who is the horse to beat at the prices, and the lovable Big Gossie.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple of, you know, we have a couple of Group 1 winners in this amongst the 5 runners. You know, Big Gossie, what more can you say? I think he's a 53 start. I think this is maybe his 54th start at the Curra. He's a 12-time winner. You know, and he's always just vulnerable to a genuine sort of Group 1.5, Group 1, Group 2 horse, as is the case last time out. Still, but I mean, the last day at the Curra, you would have thought he was odds on to finish last after 2 pole, and he goes and finishes second. So just the most incredible record. Look, I'm a big Mojo fan. Obviously, winner of the winner of the Commonwealth Cup as a 3-year-old. I actually didn't think he ran too badly at Ascot last time out, and then he sort of bombed a little bit at Newmarket next time behind Comanche Brave. He wasn't great that day, but I you know, in the big field behind Mission Central, I kind of thought they were going to have a go and run him later on the week again over 6 furlongs, but they didn't. Look, they're back here for this. I think is an ideal opportunity for him.
Phoenix Stakes betting Alex.
The Phoenix Stakes or the sprint?
The Phoenix Stakes. So we're 7-4 the field here, and again, fair play to Hills pricing this up. We've 8 runners in the Phoenix Stakes, and it's 7-4 Sun Goddess. What are we talking, Bar?
11-4 for Celeron. Folsom Blues 4-1. 9's King of Cloth and 12's and Bigger the Rest. I thought this was pretty open. From a ratings point of view, Celeron is clear off the back of a really, really good performance last time out, and a long way clear as well. In theory, £9 better than anything else. Whether that's actually borne out, I don't know, but maybe worthy of a bit more respect. I'm surprised that Celeron isn't favourite, personally, but Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, Sun Goddess is the one that he's chosen. He's got 3 in the race as well, but I thought it was open. I couldn't confidently draw a line through any of these. Even the Scallionator, who's clear outsider of the bunch, has run some solid races this season, slightly more exposed than some in the race, but yeah, I thought this had maybe a more open look to it than the betting would suggest.
Aidan has 2 and Joseph has 2, actually, but the O'Briens do kind of mingle into one to an extent. But, like, it's rare that he runs his main horse's filly in this race. Now, you go back to Damson, who won it for David Watchman. That was in 2004. La Kalina under Kieran Fallon. La Kalina won it for Declan McDonough, 33s. And just going through I can't see any other fillies winning this. Babouche, sorry, 2 years ago, but it's rare for Aidan.
Yeah, but that was Gerrs, though, Babouche.
For Aidan's main hope in this race to be a filly. And I can't make her 7-4 in form. I really can't take it on the boys here.
No, and you know, the way she was beaten in Ascot, like, obviously, you know, the horse just ran past her later on. Like, she kind of seemed to, with Libertango that day. You think she might have to be played late, but then do you think she truly gets it? Because a couple of these are definitely going to get 7 furlongs plus in time as well. I can see the argument for Celeron to be right up there near the top of the market. Like he beat Trebecca pretty well in the railway the last day. You know, Carry the Flag will keep them honest. You know, you would think Sun Goddess just has to be played late to make sure she's not caught, as was the case in Royal Ascot. So, it's difficult to really make a solid case for Sun Goddess just on the back of that, because obviously she plays back next time out. But that was far lower than this. Yeah, Celeron just. It was really nice for Michael O'Callaghan actually to have quite a big winner.
He's a good horse again. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice for him to have a good horse. And yeah, I think, and the gentleman who died is heavily involved in John Fleming. He was involved in the purchase of his horse as well. And, you know, something Michael said in the aftermath of the race, he said we probably won't really realise the significance of that until later on in the year, maybe when they start to go back to the sales season. And he's such an integral part of the team. So I think it'd be lovely for Michael O'Callaghan and the team if Seller wanted to go and run a big race.
100%. And before we get to Tom's charity bet, 19 runners in the first race to 115. Marco Polo, just some of the names here. New World Order, Push the Boat Out. And these are newcomers, as well as Catty. And yeah, some good names down there. And like, again, Bengal Tiger, these are horses that could be anything, but they're not even Marco Polo, not even the stable first ring, a rare Knight of Thunder for Aidan O'Brien. Okay, let's get your charity bet.
Yeah, we're going to go to Newmarket on Saturday, and we'll start with that opening race of the day. The Sweet Solero Stakes look short enough price favourite, but we just want a winner, and that hopefully will be in the shape of Graceful Song there for Godolphin and Billy Lochnan. It's around about 6-4.
What price are we, Alex?
Give me a moment.
First race at Newmarket.
First race at Newmarket, Sweet Solera Stakes, Graceful Song.
6-4.
This Graceful Song for Bugsy Malone, lads. You take 6-4, you'll be happy enough?
Yeah, take that, yeah.
Yeah, I went into the betting ring, like, all, you know, this and that in Sligo last night. I'm so well known, I don't even have to, like, give the money over, and bloody hell, I will be giving them the money after the race. God, I'm, like, back in short price favourites, telling the people on TV I'd back them and watching them trail in bad
four
seconds.
Back in the tally, yeah.
And, oh. And then, oh, it's Alex, what are you up to for the weekend?
One that I most like would be, I think, overpriced one. We've just mentioned it in the Phoenix Stakes, but I don't think we should have the Aidan horse as favourite, so I'll take the O'Callaghan horse as the best one. And I like Shrimp Shady at Ascot as well. I think that one's got a decent chance.
Yeah, I think Michael Callan's horse will be lost closer to Aidan's at the off. Alex, thanks a million.
Cheers, thank you.
Thanks a million for your time, Tom. What do you have to do at the Curragh on Sunday?
Curragh Sunday, RDS tomorrow, so look forward to that. Bit of puissance.
When does it start, the horse show?
It's been ongoing since Wednesday. Friday's the Aga Khan, that's the big one this afternoon. Like I said, Puissance on Saturday, and then that big Rolex Grand Prix on Sunday.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah, that was Tom Malone. Thanks to Alex Dunn from Hills for coming on. That was the Racing Pod, and enjoy the race and four meetings in Ireland this weekend.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.